The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Guess what? I have a guest. It's Liz Wheeler. Liz, welcome to the program.
Eric, thanks so much for having me.
You, my wife and I have really enjoyed watching you. I was going to say over the years. I don't really know how long you are on OAN. How long were you on OAN?
I hosted Tipping Point on OAN for 5 years, believe it or not. Five full years.
You were just a child when you began. At least you looked extremely
much.
Young. You looked so young. I was thinking, she's not young enough to host a program. But I mean, she's not old enough to host a program. But you're a little bit older than you look, but you look very, very young. So you were
I was 26 for those interested. I was 26 when I started and I'm 31 now.
Just a kid. Well, you're young enough to give your age, which is an amazing thing. We haven't had any women on this program who are that young. So I just want you to know. To actually give your age out on the air. But you listen, you're proudly conservative. You're proudly yes. Pro-life. So the headline is you are starting a show. I want my audience to know about the show. And then I want to find out your story. So tell us about the show.
Yeah, definitely. I'm super excited. We just launched the Liz Wheeler Show last week. We've done 3 episodes so far, and it's been not only exciting, it's been so phenomenal to see the response to the show already. I want to thank everyone listening who's already subscribed and given us 5-star ratings and all the glowing reviews that we've received. So if that was you, thank you so much for doing that. If not, go ahead and go over to Apple Podcasts and hit the subscribe button and give me a 5-star review. We're really excited about this show because we're trying to make it something different. We don't want to be just another voice preaching to the choir, another conservative that's sort of whining and commiserating amongst ourselves about what the radical leftists are doing. I want on my podcast to be known as someone who takes action. I want to play offense in the culture war. And the reason that I want to do this is twofold. First of all, the old adage that politics is downstream of culture, there's a reason it's an old adage. It's true. Politics is downstream of culture. And if you don't win the cultural battles first, then you get to the political battlefield and you've essentially already lost. So conservatives for the past 50, 60, 70 years have unfortunately lost the culture war. We are losing. It's not a foregone conclusion permanently, but we have lost the culture wars in large part for quite some time. And I want to turn the tides on that. I want to say enough. It's time to stop playing defense. It's time to stop playing by the rules of the radical left. And it's time to go on offense to restore and reclaim our culture. And I want to do that simply by speaking reality. People know when they're being lied to. They know when the Democrats are peddling delusion. And they know when someone's speaking the truth and they know what that objective truth exists. And so that's what we're going to do on the show is we're going to talk in reality. We're going to speak directly to people in a more personal connection as you get when it's on a podcast, and we're going to have fun doing it.
So tell me, Liz, how do people find it? Now, it's a video. It's a program. So
yes.
When you say podcast, I think a lot of people think it's an audio thing, but it's a video podcast.
Yes. And that's why I've been referring to it as a show, because it is a video podcast. So you can listen to it on the audio platforms. You can go to Apple Podcasts. You can go to Spotify. You can go to Google or what have you. You can also watch it on YouTube or on Rumble, or you can go to Locals, the Liz Wheeler Show community. You can watch it completely ad-free over there in the video format. So however you like to listen or watch your pods, we're going to be on that platform.
Terrific. So what is the quickest way for people to find it? Is there a website or something like that?
Yes, you can go to LizWheelerShow.com to find all the different options, and then you can choose the one that fits you best.
LizWheelerShow.com. That's what could be simpler. Yes. Okay, so I want to hear your story. And it's funny listening to you because you remind me of myself in a few things that you said. I don't know if you're aware of me, but it is just interesting when you're talking about culture. A lot of conservatives get stuck talking politics, news, and they forget that there's this thing called the culture, which really is upstream. And it's because we haven't attended to it that we're in the position we are politically. We haven't sort of laid down the, you know, a foundation in a way. And so it's important to me, and it's wonderful to hear that you're talking about that. I want to get a little bit about of your story. So where did you grow up and how did you get into doing what you're doing?
Sure. So I grew up in the great Midwest in the state of Ohio, right outside of Cincinnati. My dad is a small business owner. My mom was a computer programmer turned stay-at-home mom extraordinaire who homeschooled me. And there's five of us, so all five of us siblings. So I was raised in a conservative Catholic Christian household. And we saw firsthand, you know, the impact that governmental policies had on my dad's business. He was always very open with us about that. So I'm very, very grateful and very lucky to have had that solid foundation instilled in me from a young age. But that, of course, is just childhood. You get to a certain point and you have to decide as an adult, are you going to continue the practice of your religion? Are you going to continue in the principles and applying them politically, I should say, that you were raised in? And so I got to a certain point, you know, late teenage years, where I was faced with that decision. Who am I going to be as an adult? Am I going to be conservative? Am I going to be Christian? And I decided yes. I mean, I was a competitive swimmer in high school, and I ended up having to stop swimming competitively because I was diagnosed with a pretty serious cell disease. And that's a tough thing for a teenager to deal with. And it really makes you sit down, and metaphorically, of course, and come to grips with what you believe and why you believe what you believe, what your purpose in life is, what, how are you going to use the gifts that God gave you to further his kingdom or defend his principles in the political realm? And that's what I faced. I faced that question. So in late high school, when Barack Obama was running in 2007, 2008, I listened so much to all that whole political cycle. And I realized, wow, this guy is a serious threat to everything that my family holds dear, whether it's our religious freedom, whether it's our ability to run a business, whether it's, you know, my mom's ability to homeschool us, all of these things, my dad's ability to save money in a responsible way and therefore be able to pay for the healthcare that I needed at the time. All the things that had really shaped me and formed me into who I was were threatened by this radical leftist ideology being peddled by Barack Obama. And so it kind of hit me all of a sudden that, listen, I know I'm argumentative, you know, you don't get reared, you're not reared in a large family with that many siblings without realizing that you're pretty argumentative. My mom had told me that many times. And I realized I'm a perfect fit to fight this culture war, to make sure that not only me and my family are able to make the choices that we see fit for our family, but to make sure that other families and other people in our country are able to make those same choices. And so I promised myself the night that Barack Obama was elected that I would dedicate my life to fighting for our country. And that's what I've been trying to do ever since.
Well, that's such a wonderful thing. I'm a huge fan of the homeschooling movement. I just spoke with Dennis Prager at a homeschooling convention in Houston. And everywhere I go, I meet kids who are homeschooled with their parents usually. And within seconds, I just realize these young people are going to take over the world. Thank the Lord. I can just see that the preparation you get as a homeschooled kid is astonishing. And everywhere I go, I just say that homeschoolers are going to take over the world. It's our hope. And it's what's interesting. It's below the radar. A lot of people aren't at all aware of the homeschooling movement, that there are all these kids being schooled, you know, with constitutional foundations or foundations in the Constitution, in scripture. It's kind of an amazing thing. And you are obviously growing up into the world and being able to, you know, give back. So it really is a cool thing. So God bless your mom and dad for raising you and your siblings right. Pretty extraordinary.
Yeah, 100%. And the extraordinary education that I got homeschooling is all due, you know, to my mom being an incredible educator and my dad supporting her in that role. And I'm forever grateful because I learned to think for myself. I mean, one of the things that my mom used to tell us is that the most important part of learning isn't even the facts that you learn. It's learning how to learn. So if there's ever something that you don't know in your life, you know how to research it. You know how to think critically about it. And you know how to draw conclusions for yourself. You don't have to rely on other people to tell you how to think or what to do. And she did an absolutely amazing job teaching us how to do that, which has enabled me to do what I do right now.
It is important to know how to think. And I think when you see people who don't know how to think, it's disturbing. You realize, gosh, they don't get it. They don't understand logic. They're just going off on emotional points. And it's a fascinating thing. So yeah, nothing is more important than learning how to learn, thinking how to think. We're going to be right back, folks. I'm talking to Liz Wheeler. She has a new show, The Liz Wheeler Show. You can look online, LizWheelerShow.com. We'll be right back. Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out. Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. Like you, I am sick of hearing about big tech companies spying on their customers, selling their data, and not being able to keep their platforms safe and secure. Luckily, I've found SquadPod, a private platform that helps businesses, organizations, churches, and nonprofits take back control of their communication. SquadPod has three things going for it that other companies do not. First, SquadPod puts you in control of who is a part of your team, what they see, and how they interact with the group. Second, SquadPod is 100% owned and operated in the United States. Third, SquadPod is simple to use. Just create an account, invite your team, and start communicating via their secure video and messaging features. Learn more at squadpod.com/Eric. That's squadpod.com/Eric. Let me say it again, squadpod.com/Eric. Check it out. Folks, I'm talking to Liz Wheeler. Liz Wheeler, welcome back. It's fun to meet you virtually just because I feel that I know you. My wife and I have experienced your program. You were on OAN for 5 years. I cannot believe that, actually.
I know. It went by in the blink of an eye. I had the time of my life building that show, but it was over in just a flash, and it's helped prepare me to do what I'm doing now with my new show, which it's just this new show format is just a little bit more exciting, I think, gives me a little more personal connection with my audience. This is truly my show, unencumbered by the censorship of big tech or corporate wokeism that sometimes underpins cable news channels. It's a really exciting new thing that we're launching.
Isn't that an amazing thing that even when you're on a, you know, so-called conservative network, there are things you can't say. There's this creepy corporate culture sometimes. And, you know, without naming names, it's affected everybody. The fact that we're not allowed to talk about the election, which strikes me as having been a non-election, that at least there's enough information that I would want to talk about it. And people are saying, no, you can't talk about it. You can't talk about Arizona. You can't talk about the machines. You can't talk about any of that. And you think, why can't I talk about it? If you weren't afraid that I'm going to find something, wouldn't you be encouraging me to talk about it? You're making me suspicious.
Right. Well, we see how well that censorship has worked out for the mainstream media outlets and for big tech as well in not even election related stuff. We've seen that just this week and last week how they've had to retract their so-called fact checks about the origin of the COVID-19 virus and whether or not it leaked from the Wuhan Institute of Virology in Wuhan, China, which is where the virus came from. And last year, there were people that were literally kicked off of big tech platforms for discussing the origin of the virus as being anything other than a natural emerging virus. And, you know, all these different outlets, all these different mainstream outlets fact checked and said, no, that's false. It's been debunked by scientists. Well, all of a sudden, a year later, suddenly you're allowed to ask the question because it seems statistically probable, not for sure. We haven't had an investigation yet, but statistically probable that it might have leaked from that lab.
Well, I mean, I think it even goes beyond that. I was talking to people on my program a year ago about this, and it was just straight up and down. It's clear from the virus itself and the way that it was made. But it's hard for us to believe. I mean, you're a lot younger than I am, but to live in the United States of America and to see this level of censorship, it is chilling. And we are in a war.
Yeah.
None of us who are free can allow people to tell us what to think, what to say. It's unconscionable. It's despicable, really, that people would even try, much less do it. But you see that we're really up against Goliath. In other words, big tech is very powerful, very dangerous. But I suspect because of your faith, you're not daunted.
No, and we have an episode on my show where we talk about critical race theory. I'm sure you and your viewers know all about this and are participating in the fight against it. But we talk about the origins, the history of critical race theory. We trace it back through critical legal studies, which is sort of the parent of critical race theory, and then to critical theory from the Frankfurt School, which is essentially a Marxist school. And the reason that we're talking about the origin of this is because the critical race theory that's being taught in schools right now is essentially a tool to impose Marxism, right? It's a tool to destroy the institutions here in the United States so that Marxism can be ushered in. That's what it was designed to do. And part of this Marxist ideal or part of this Marxist strategy is the censorship of free speech. The same people who wrote the book, the literal book on critical race theory, on critical theory, talk about how conservative voices should be censored and how free speech should not be allowed, that it's not something that should be tolerated in a Marxist society. So when you and I talk about cultural Marxism, that's not just some witty name for radical leftist assaults. It's literal Marxism that is being levied against us. And we are the targets. They admitted it. We are the targets that they're trying to silence. So we have to expose that, not just complain, oh, we're being censored. We have to expose why they're doing it and exactly what they're doing it for.
Well, it's fascinating because I a lot of times I've not had my eye on the ball, so to speak. And then weeks later, months later, I suddenly realize, holy cow, that's what that is. You know, when BLM just first happened, I knew that it didn't ring true and that the people behind it were not good people. They frankly couldn't care less about Black lives in America. They're just playing a political game, a power game. But then when you realize, no, these are actual Marxists. These people don't believe in anything that most Blacks in America believe in. They are just power mongering Marxists. And if you really care about the urban underclass, about Black people in America, you are obliged to speak up against Black Lives Matter because they are harming Black lives in America. But if it weren't for folks like you or me talking about this, the mainstream media doesn't seem even slightly interested in covering this.
No, I mean, the mainstream media, you saw CNN last summer, you saw them literally standing in front of a burning building, a building that had been set on fire by Black Lives Matter agitators and rioters and thugs, and claiming that it was a mostly peaceful protest. The mainstream media has no interest. And again, just for our viewers' edification, the Black Lives Matter leaders, we're not labeling them as Marxists because that's our opinion. The Patrice Cullors, who's the co-founder of the movement, literally admits in a video, which anyone can go watch on the internet, I think I've posted it multiple times on my Twitter account before, that she and the other founders are, quote, trained Marxists. Those are her words, that they are trained Marxists. That movement is a Marxist movement. It uses critical race theory, obviously, as a dividing tool in order to obliterate the criminal justice system in our country, because obliterating these institutions, such as the criminal justice system, is part of the Marxist plan to destroy the country, our governmental structure and our society to impose Marxism.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because this is not just political. It's a cultural issue. In other words, they've infiltrated the culture, the academy, the news organizations. It's amazing to me, though, that the cultural elites, everybody really from my generation on down, went to schools that had this kind of elitist, globalist worldview, which was at least at its core, anti-American, sometimes explicitly anti-American. So it's been there for a while, but it's taken decades to bubble up to the surface, such that CNN and ABC and NBC and pretty much everybody is parroting this kind of thing. We weren't there 10 or 20 years ago.
Right. Well, I mean, you phrased it exactly correctly. It's taken decades, and it's literally been decades. So the Marxist that I mentioned, who, while at the Frankfurt School in Germany, wrote about critical theory as a tool to implement Marxism in the West, they, under threat of the Nazis, they came to America, and Columbia University allowed them to set up in the Columbia University teachers' colleges. These Marxists have not just metaphorically, they have quite literally infiltrated the academic system, and it's taken decades for that to become prevalent in the academic system. It did become prevalent. Once it was prevalent in the academic system, then it took a little time for those in the academic system to be taught and to go and, you know, progress in their careers enough that they were parroting this Marxism. But that's where we are now. We've actually had a time lapse long enough that not only was the idea seeded in the higher education, but it's been taught to people who are now in the upper echelons of their careers decades later.
That's exactly right. And that's what's so extraordinary. And I think oftentimes there is a cultural lag in the way things come out, but also there's a different kind of cultural lag in the sense that most people didn't see it coming. They're living their lives, and then suddenly this weird thing appears and they don't know, how did this happen? I mean, the idea that your average American should be familiar even with the term critical race theory, much less what it is, seems preposterous. You know, we know when we fought the Nazis, they hate the Jews and they're the enemy of America and we're going to go to war. But the idea that we have to be familiar with these ridiculous things, it really has taken us unawares. And obviously a lot of churches are completely blindsided. They don't have a clue that this is evil from the pit of hell. This is Marxist atheism in different clothes. And so, you know, they're playing patty cake with it and they're putting up BLM flags or rainbow flags or whatever it is. That must amaze you, being a Catholic.
Right. So I kind of divide Christianity, and I hate to use the word divide when it comes to Christianity, but there's sort of three sects in American culture, right? The evangelicals, the Protestants, and the Catholics. And each in their different way, I think these three denominations have fallen prey to this wokeism. The Catholic Church has fallen prey to social justice, which is essentially socialism, just wrapped up in this idea of charity. But it's not really charity when it's coerced, when it's redistribution of wealth. So the Catholic Church has fallen short, or in fact, has fallen prey to a false gospel in that sense. The Protestants have fallen prey to just plain old wokeism. They have dying congregations, and so they're resorting to these tenets of woke culture to try to recruit new members to their congregations, and they likewise are abandoning the gospel. And evangelicals, bless their hearts, have essentially tried to create alternative institutions rather than taking on the institutions that the radical left is trying to take over. And I don't blame them. I understand you don't want to send your kid to a public school. You don't want to send them to the movies. You don't want to let them watch a movie that has a terrible theme to it. But instead of taking it on, they have acquiesced those institutions and removed themselves, creating sort of an alternative community. In doing those three things, those three denominations, which should be at the forefront of the defense of these cultural institutions, have fallen somewhat short. Now, that doesn't mean there's not areas that each sect of Christianity has done good things in our country. I don't mean to just be pointing the finger and blame, but they have fallen short in combating the cultural Marxism that we're facing.
We're going to go to a break. Folks, I'm talking to Liz Wheeler. She has a new show. Yes, The Liz Wheeler Show. You can go to LizWheelerShow.com and you can find out how to get it. I want to remind my listeners and viewers, please go to Nutramedics.com or go to MyPillow.com. Use the code ERIC. We appreciate your support. Great products, great companies, great people. We'll be right back. Prescription Dispensing Labs is a national licensed pharmacy specializing in personalized prescription and natural medicine. The pharmacists at PD Labs are credited with formulating unique nasal sprays for the dreaded brain fog and a leader in uncovering new compounds to improve your health. PD Labs is one of the first pharmacies to now offer a telemedicine group trained in prevention medicine and how to restore your health. They have developed signature professional supplements that really work rather than just promotional advertising. PD Labs Pharmacy prides itself on innovation and amazing customer service that show dedication to your health. Today, everyone needs a choice in their healthcare, and they bring many refreshing options on how to maximize your body's amazing capabilities to bounce back. PD Labs has an extensive network of practitioners nationwide dedicated to true healthcare, not sick care. Visit their website, pdlabsrx.com, for free health tips, podcasts, and their popular online store. Call 888-909-0110. Ask for Ray and tell them Eric sent you. That's 888-909-0110. Hey there, friends. Eric Metaxas here. Joe Biden and the Democrats have laid out the most socialist agenda our country has ever seen. Instead of following President Trump's blueprint that had the economy booming, the Dems are going to raise taxes, increase regulations, and skyrocket an already outrageous national debt. If your retirement is in traditional investments, it is in jeopardy. Americans should be diversifying their investments with gold and precious metals. Gold gives you control over your wealth and protects you from market volatility, inflation, and a weakening dollar. When investing in gold, I turn to Legacy Precious Metals. Legacy Precious Metals has over 40 years of experience in helping Americans protect their finances, and this team is prepared to patiently consider your own personal financial needs. If you're looking to invest in gold, call the good folks at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-473-6204 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. Don't leave your retirement to chance, friends. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today. That's 866-473-6204. Folks, the final segment with Liz Wheeler. Liz, it's just great to get to know you a little bit. We've not met in person, even though we traffic in the same conspiracy theories, like we believe, you know, life begins at conception and all that kooky stuff, that kooky religious stuff. Are you married? Are you single?
I am. I'm married. I've been married for almost 4 years, and I just gave birth to a little baby girl 4 months ago.
Get out. I understand that it's not only women that can give birth. Did you know that?
Oh, you know what? My baby woke up. This is a funny story. My baby woke up at about 4:45 a.m. a couple days ago, and I suggested to my husband at the time that he maybe try to chest feed her so that I could keep sleeping. But turns out, even though the radical left tells us that's a thing, that is not a thing. I had to wake up and feed her.
You know, there's so many crazy things going on. The craziest crazy thing is this idea that there's no such thing as men and women. I mean, if you really want to be biblical, there is nothing more basic. In the first words of Genesis, male and female created he them. You really have to throw the Bible in the garbage or on the bonfire if you disagree with that. And yet we have many people, including, again, leftist, confused people in some churches who seem somehow to drink the Kool-Aid. And I just don't know what could be crazier than the idea that some people are going to invent a new reality 5 minutes ago and then make everyone abide by it. You think, excuse me, where did this come from? Where do you think it came from?
Right. Well, it came from a mistaken idea of compassion. So this was one of the smart tactics that was used by the radical left is they tell us, do you want to be loving? Do you want to be inclusive? Do you want to be tolerant? Do you want to treat others the way that you want to be treated? Then here's what you do. And they gave you this binary choice. Either you reject biblical principles and accept delusion, or you are a terrible person. So many people, unfortunately, fell prey to that because, I don't know, because they weren't taught to think critically, because they were indoctrinated in the public schools, because their pastors or their priests weren't giving them theologically correct interpretations of the Bible, because they hadn't studied the Word of God themselves. There's a whole host of reasons why people can fall prey to this. But the fact of the matter is just like the Catholic Church has fallen prey to the idea of social justice being charity when it's not, it's forced redistribution of wealth. So too can individuals fall prey to the idea of false tolerance. That's not in the Bible to say, okay, in order to love you the way that Christ loves you, I'm going to accept your delusion and encourage you to get surgery to mutilate your body. No, that's not real compassion. Real compassion is saying, Jesus loves you just as you are. I see your suffering and I'm here for you, but I'm not going to tell you something that's not true just so that you might momentarily feel better about it. What I am going to do is lovingly and gently and firmly tell you the truth and get you the help that you need. That's harder for Christians to do. It's uncomfortable for Christians to do, but that's true biblical love. And they mistake the other for tolerance.
Well, as usual, you've summed it up beautifully. But it's an extraordinary thing. We're in that place in our culture where so much emphasis has been put on love, but it's not even love. It's basically the antithesis of love. It's sloppy emotionalism, and it's a kind of narcissistic desire for love that I want people to approve of me. So I don't want to say anything that might cost me something. Agape love, according to the Bible, means that it's going to be costly. It's going to cost me something to love. It's self-sacrificial. And self-sacrificial means I'm going to say something that I might become less popular by saying it, but I might bless the person to whom I say it. That is out of fashion. And if you say anything that's, you know, potentially triggering or upsetting, people say that's not unloving. So people are really having to define even what love is. And of course, that's been going on for some time in this culture. We've just got a couple of minutes left. What are some of the things we can look forward to on your program, The Liz Wheeler Show, in the weeks ahead?
Definitely. So my goal with this new show is to be your go-to podcast when you want to know, is this true? What are the facts? Is this reality? I will present not only the facts, I will present reality. We are not going to back down to the bullying from the radical left. We are just going to talk in facts. And of course, my opinion is going to be peppered in there. Of course it is. That's the basis of the show. But I want to show you my thought process. I want to show you the facts. I want to show you reality. And then I will show you how I drew my conclusion. It's going to be a conversation in that way between me and between my viewers. Like I said, we've talked about Dr. Fauci and how he indirectly funded the Wuhan Institute of Virology. We talked about the Derek Chauvin verdict and how, regardless of whether you think Chauvin did something wrong or whether he did not do something wrong, the verdict should be overturned because the trial itself was unfair. We talked about the deep state, the swamp, and how the true name for it is the administrative state and where that came from and how we can unravel it legislatively and judicially. This week, we talked about critical race theory, its origins, and what we can do to fight against it. We have all kinds of topics that people are craving to hear reality. They know it's not just a matter of, is this fact? Is this not fact? Who's lying? Who's telling the truth? They know, people know in our hearts that there is objective truth, that there is reality. And on the Liz Wheeler Show, we are going to be champions of reality.
Isn't that funny that you even have to say that? Champions of reality. But we're at a point now, you know, when Bruce Jenner walks into a room. I saw him at Trump's inauguration at a ball, and my breath was taken away at, he's a huge athlete dressed in a dress and wearing heels and stuff. And when you're confronted with that, you just think, how can anybody possibly think that now suddenly this is a, you know, 6'5" gigantic woman? It's a strange, we're living in a time when that, what you just said, is being challenged, reality. And so we're having to say what is true and say what is real over and over and over again, and direct people to folks like you who are saying these things, because we need to reinforce what is really true. So Liz Wheeler, I'm just grateful for you and grateful for the new program. Congratulations on it. And we hope to catch you again very soon.
Thank you so much, Eric, for having me today.
I'm going to talk right now to Kevin McCullough. Many of us know him as Votestradamus. We're launching a campaign for this month for Christian Solidarity International. People always say, hey, what can I do? What can I do? Well, one thing you can do is give something to tremendous, tremendous causes. Christian Solidarity International, they're involved in so many things. What is your relationship with them? How do you
know? Let me tie together what we were discussing the last hour and with what we're going to discuss here, because when the discussion about critical race theory comes up, and it's coming up everywhere, it's in your school district, it's in your church, it's in your community, it may be in your home, you're having family members argue about this, you have parents arguing with kids, everyone is discussing this right now. So you think that I'm fairly conservative, and you probably think I'm pretty narrow-minded in my view of the race issue, and probably disagree with you on a bunch of it. But what if I could show you something that we do and my listeners do that I'm confident you could do that would make a difference? And I get to tell them about the Slave Liberation Project in Sudan. And I actually literally turn these hate-oriented arguments into an opportunity to not only radically change their mind, but show them something that's being done. And we've talked about it on your show before, Eric, but here in the summertime, it is not any less important to remember that after the Sudanese Civil War came to an end, there were hundreds of thousands of South Sudanese Christian women and children that had been taken into slavery and that were being held captive in northern Sudan. And when the world powers that helped govern the end of the Sudanese Civil War decided to split it into two countries, they didn't do anything to address the plight of the slaves
in northern Sudan. About that. Think about what you just said. I want my audience to think how astonishing. There was a gruesome civil war in the Sudan. And when the powers that be were able to end it, they said, oh, as part of the deal, we're not going to do anything about the slaves. Ladies and gentlemen, slaves in 2021, slaves, they're there today. We could do something about it. I mean, Kevin, it seems like this can't be happening today, but it's happening right now.
That's true. And while Christian Solidarity International from the very beginning was involved in their liberation and the abolition of slavery from the North, they have not been joined by any other people. In fact, it's just been everyday folks like you and I that have come alongside and said, hey, I'd like to help. I'd like to help. I'd like to help. And I know that in the last year, Eric, I believe between the combined radio shows, not just yours and mine, but other ones that band together to help, there were more than 1,000 slaves liberated. But that still leaves about 35,000 of the original 185,000 that were there still in captivity in the North. So this is a really simple program, people. It's not complicated at all. What you do is you make a gift to CSI, Christian Solidarity International. They have an operational kind of underground railroad, Arab retrievers, people that are not Christian, but that want to have a good relationship with the Christian Sudanese in the South. They go up into the North. They scout out where slaves are still being held. They engage the slave masters towards the liberation of those slaves. Once they have that liberation agreed upon, they are able to bring those slaves back to South Sudan, to their home. Many times they were taken as children. They've been gone for a decade or more. Sometimes they don't know where they came from. So there's a lot of kind of deconstructing that they have to do. They get to recuperate in a camp setting, a kind of a restoration retreat for a period of time. They get medical treatment. They get psychological treatment. There are other things that they're given. And then your gift for $250, and this is probably the biggest portion of the gift, gives them a new life. Now, what does it give them? It gives them a thing called the bag of hope. And inside this thing that's much larger than just a little sack, you've got tarps that they can create tenting and structures to live in. They've got tools to garden and to fish with. They've got the ability to have eating utensils, a Bible, blankets, other things that they need to just survive. They'll get a year's worth of sorghum grain that will keep them sustained for the coming year. They have another year's worth of seed for sorghum grain that they can plant and grow future crops of that. And then on top of all of that, they're given a she-goat that they can use to create micro enterprise. They can
get a she-goat. I mean, I forgot that. So the money that we give to CSI, and by the way, folks, you can just go to metaxastalk.com. Right at the top, you'll see the banner and all the information is there. But I didn't realize, Kevin, that you're getting somebody out of slavery, which, ladies and gentlemen, I can't even tell you. Think about that for a second. Your money can do that. But then it sets them up in life. They literally get a goat, which sounds funny to us. But imagine, it changes the life of somebody in that world to have a goat to provide milk and cheese. I mean, it's an amazing thing.
Eric, you're talking about women that have been brutally raped, sexually assaulted, brutally, brutally beaten, brutally treated, emotionally spoken to, given long hours of work, nothing to eat but scraps that fall off the table. They don't even own more than usually one change of clothes of any sort. And then to receive this gift called the Bag of Hope, which has got to be the biggest single gift they've ever received in their life, it blows them away. They can't believe it. They need some time to actually kind of take it in because they're like, how can this just be for me? But the beautiful thing about this is that it really does give them that launch pad to start their life back in their village where they came from. Now, let me just talk to you about that for a second, because once they've had their time of recovery, CSI sees to it that they get as close to where they originally grew up or knew people or what their village was to begin with as possible. And when they come home, the whole village, the pastor of the church, the leaders of the village, they come out, they throw this celebration. It is like the prodigal son on steroids when the lost slave returns home to its home people, its tribe, its hometown. There is celebration. They have a feast that goes on for days. They give thanks to God. These people are Christians. They're our brothers and sisters, and they are so rejoicing at the sight of their loved one that they believed they would never see again. And that's what your gift provides. Not only liberation from a negative life, liberation from an evil existence that has, you know, continually exploited them, but they are given a ticket to new life and a life of love and fellowship and a true engagement with people that have their very best at heart. It is unlike anything I've ever seen anywhere else. And I will advocate for them until God takes the breath from my lungs, because I so believe in what they're doing.
Folks, do you understand what a little bit you give can totally, totally change lives? I want people to know that, to hear it, be encouraged. Go to MetaxasTalk.com. Give whatever you can. We need it. We need to do this. We need to give to people that are struggling. Kevin, my friend, thank you so much.
Thank you, Eric.
The guests we get on this program,
I don't know.
I don't know how we do it.
I don't know.
I don't know how we do it. Hey, I got to just say something.
Yes.
We've got to tell people again and again and again. Yesterday, we were completely forever knocked off of YouTube.
That's right.
And folks, I've been looking into this. This is Maoist, Soviet-style intimidation. It is wrong on every level. And if you think you're going to silence me, let me tell you something. If you knew who my parents were,
yeah,
no, I don't think it's going to happen. Good luck.
Yeah,
keep trying. But in America, we have to speak up, and especially when they try to silence you. We have had the most wonderful guests, and we put it on YouTube.
Yeah,
they're all gone. You have to go to Rumble. Even better. And I'm begging you, folks, I'm just begging you, go to my website, ericmetaxas.com. Please sign up for the newsletter. Please, 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 because there's no way to get all the information out to you that we want to get out to you. So just sign up for it. You'll see what I mean.
Right. Alvin, you can still hear the guest at MetaxasTalk.com. We've got the whole podcast there.
But obviously.
The video.
But if you want to see it, and I know so many of you want to see, for example, what are we wearing today?
That's
if,
right.
If you're not watching the video, you can't see what we're wearing. We could tell you anything. I am wearing a union suit.
Love it.
And I'm smoking a corncob pipe.
And I have not had a haircut in 6 weeks. I'm looking like a bald, shaggy dog right now.
I was going to say, my hair has started to thin, and I want to know, Alvin, what's your secret?
Well, I just let it go, brother.
You just let it ride.
Okay,
we got to mention two things real quick before we go to the next guest. A lot of people know that Father's Day is coming up. Folks, Father's Day is coming up. I don't expect any big gift.
No.
But it wouldn't hurt. But here's the issue. Father's Day, we have a film on SalemNow.com. Now, people should be going to SalemNow.com anyway because there's a lot of great programming there. But SalemNow.com, there's a new film coming out called The Streets Were My Father. You can tell it's kind of a dark story, but it ends very, very wonderfully. It's an inspirational film about, I guess you have to be honest. If you didn't have a father, Father's Day might really be a hurtful day, might be a difficult day for you. And so this film deals with three men from the urban community, two Hispanics, one black. And I got to tell you, the story of their lives, of not having a father and what happened to them. And this is a fact. 85% of youths in prison, 85% of youths in prison come from homes without a father. If you don't realize that that is the problem in America right now, you're not paying attention. That is one of the most overwhelming statistics conceivable. So the film is called The Streets Were My Father. Go to SalemNow.com, SalemNow.com. Once a year, we have a program with Christian Solidarity International. They are literally freeing slaves in Sudan.
That's right.
It seems satanic and unthinkable that slavery exists in 2021. Ladies and gentlemen, apart from you giving, it does. In other words, right now, you could give $250 to CSI, go to metaxastalk.com, and you can literally free a slave. And the money doesn't only pay to make that happen, but it sets them up in a new life. It's an astonishing thing that they get, how far American money goes in Africa. It is astonishing. But in Sudan, they still have slaves. These Muslim slave traders, they believe in slavery. They don't have a theological issue with it, as Christians do, but didn't always, obviously. So we want you to go to our website, metaxastalk.com, metaxastalk.com, metaxastalk.com. Check out the banner CSI.
Or call the phone number, which is 888-253-3522.
Let me spell that out. 888-253-3522. Whatever you give, folks, there's nothing more important than using the money that we have, which is a lot, to give it to a cause like this. You're literally freeing slaves. We'll tell you more about that on this program. How much time do we have left?
That's it, buddy.
We're out of time?
Yeah.
Okay, folks, please do that. You've got a couple of assignments. No kidding. Go to ericmetaxas.com. Sign up for the newsletter, please. We need your help. And please go to metaxastalk.com and do what you can for CSI. God bless you.